Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Kavanagh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Welcome back as we continue our discussion of gender norms and roles in our four NICE selections this year, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula. It really is, the book is so much richer in terms of all of these deeper things going on than the movie is, that I hope people will visit the book and you know, get a little more depth of understanding of what's going on with these characters, because they are just amazingly complex.
And, yeah, they really are.
And we learn a lot about the norms and conventions of the time period through their lives. Right. And I don't just mean Scarlet and Red. I mean all the characters in this book. They're really all pretty well written, you know.
Right. Yeah, love them or hate them, they are fully drawn.
Yeah. Like in real life, you know, everybody has good qualities and bad qualities. Mm-hmm. You know, and this book has no exception with that being true for all the characters. There's things to love and hate about almost every single character in this book, except maybe Mammy. I just love Mammy. She's just the goodness of the world, you know. I mean, she really is the most caring, loving person. And anytime she's being mean, or, you know, like when she doesn't like Rhett and she's mean to him and everything, it's out of love for Scarlett, and it's out of genuine concern that Rhett is not treating Scarlett well and things like that. So she's an amazing character in her own right. And
she does
adhere to the stereotypical gender role that she is supposed to be playing in the time period that this book takes place. She doesn't have a lot of options in, you know, going beyond the Mammy character, and I mean Mammy as in quotes, the slave black governess, if you will, the nanny Mammy. I'm not sure exactly how to say it, but even after the Civil War, she is still true to what she believes is her family, which is Scarlett and Scarlett's children. And you know, Mammy never wavers. She is the constant. Scarlett, I don't think Scarlett ever really realizes that until Mammy in the book, when Mammy's getting older and she wants to go back to Terra. I haven't read that. I have to figure that out. And she doesn't want to be in Atlanta anymore, and that devastates Scarlett in some ways. But it doesn't quite hit her the same way as, say, for when, example, Melanie dies. But Mammy really is, in my opinion, Scarlett's true north. Mammy really is the one person that she could always count on and who was always on her side, even when they were butting heads and battling themselves, you know. So I think Mammy's a really interesting character too.
Right. No, I think, Mammy is like the earth is in that book.
Yeah.
You know, because I believe on the very last page she's referencing going to find Mammy and finding comfort there and rebalance.
Yeah, and who better to help her do that? Because that's, and I love in the book also that we get some backstory on Mammy and her life with Scarlett's mother before Ellen, Scarlett's mother, married Gerald, Scarlett's father. So we get so much more information about Scarlett's parents and Mammy, and that whole part of Scarlett's ancestry is so interesting because it gives us so much insight in why Mammy feels the way she does about this bratty girl, Scarlett. You know, it's all about Ellen, really, for Mammy. It's all about her love for Scarlett's mother, and she, without question, transfers all that love and care to Scarlett. It's just a beautiful thing in the book. It's none of that stuff is really in the movie, and so the movie gives a very one-dimensional kind of portrait of who Mammy is. The book gives us a lot more detail. And I always like to emphasize that when she is mean to Rhett and Mammy has no problem, you know, kind of telling him exactly how she feels about him. And, you know, it takes him a long time to get Mammy on his side, you know. Mm-hmm. But
thinking through, yeah. I'm sorry, did I interrupt?
No, that's okay.
thinking through Mammy's gender roles, I'm thinking, is she what we would call maybe 10 years ago the stereotype of the strong, sassy black woman?
Yeah, I think she is. I think, you know, in a modern telling of this story, she would have to be, like in the book you're talking about writing, where Scarlett is the CEO of something, it's almost like Mammy would have to be one of her employees, kind of high up, maybe a lifelong friend or a family friend that she's brought into her company, you know, because maybe it was her mother's best friend or something like that. And she's brought this woman into her company because she can rely on her, and she knows that the Mammy character is her, like, even if she's not fully aware of it, it's kind of like her grounding person, you know? I could almost see that in many scenes, you know, that you could translate into modern business settings or whatever in your book, that Mammy's kind of chastising of Scarlett and all that stuff would definitely sound like the strong, independent, sassy black woman that is more of a stereotypical role in more modern stories and than in older stories, you know, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And I think that hits at you know, both some gender dynamics, mm-hmm. Some racial dynamics,
yeah.
That back then, I mean, we can look at Sojourner Truth's speech, mm-hmm. Anti-Woman, and mm-hmm. now we have a tendency to see white women as more frail,
yeah.
And black women as these, you know, strong, yeah. creatures. And like, mm-hmm. you know, okay, you women are too weak to work, but you black woman, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. you can be out there doing physical labor all day.
Yeah, that's right. And have children, you know? On the way, you know, I mean, and,
right.
you know, and suffer all the indignities of slavery and post-Civil War Reconstruction and right up to the Civil Rights era, right up to today with, you know, things like Breonna Taylor. And, you know, I mean, it's just, we see... We tend to assume, and when I say we, I'm talking about the fragility of the white people. We tend to see that we quote unquote can do anything to black people, and they somehow are strong enough to take it. And that is such a horrible, horrible attitude for any group of people to have about another group of people. And mm-hmm. I don't like saying group of people because that separates us. And I'm struggling with that. To make the point without causing those divisions of groups of people, because I truly don't want to sound like I believe there are groups of people. People are people, and we should treat everybody equally and beautifully and kindly, and we're not doing that. And part of that is this rather culturally indoctrinated, like you said, you know, idea that black people can just take it and take it and take it no matter what gets thrown at them. And I think we've got to stop that. We've got to stop assuming that. We've got to stop treating people like that. And we've got to face up to the fact that we've done that to ourselves and to other people. We as a culture have created that problem. We as a culture have to fix it. We really went off topic a little bit there, but I do think we'll come back to Mammy in some future conversations, especially sure. when we're talking about class hierarchies in all of these right. books, because they all have them. And of course, Gone with the Wind is the most egregious because it actually has slavery in there and everything.
Right.
So we will talk more about those issues. But sure. yeah, I feel like Jane Eyre and Gone with the Wind, we were supposed to just kind of mention them and then move on to Dracula and Little Women, but it's really hard to just mention, you know.
But yeah. Let's get on to the pardon the pun, the meat of our conversation.
Yes, yeah.
With one of them.
Our main focus, yeah.
And Dracula is a great one to talk on for gender roles,
oh my
and
gosh.
Sex and sexuality.
Yeah. yeah.
So with gender roles, I found some of these characters absolutely fascinating, particularly Mina
mm-hmm.
and Jonathan. We open the book yeah. with Jonathan Harker.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Harker is going to Count Dracula's estate on purposes of business, mm-hmm. slowly finds out that he is not actually there on business. He's there now as a prisoner,
yep.
and his life is in peril. And the way that he is described has a lot of what we would consider in that time period to be feminine reactions or yeah. roles.
He's not a manly man.
But he talks about his fears. Mm-hmm. Some of the reactions that he has with the three brides, the three women who are also vampires, when they're getting ready to attack him, and it is kind of a sexual scene. It's not sex per se. It's like
it's metaphorical. Yeah, metaphorical sex or an analogy. Yeah.
Right. He is the one who is in the passive role being penetrated.
Right.
And just the fears that he deals with, and some of like the emotional struggles he goes through in that time period, those were considered more feminine, more weak.
Yes.
But we also see the same character, Jonathan Harker, becoming part of this Let's Kill Vampy team at the end. And he rallies and he's strong. And so he can both be somebody who allows himself to be afraid and be a nurturing partner. He's kind of right in the middle when it comes to partners sometimes.
Yeah.
But he can also, you know, get ready to grab a stake and go after Dracula.
Right.
So he's interesting. He's kind of right in the middle of that spectrum.
He is. And I love that he and Mina have a relationship where when he is weak, she is strong. When mm-hmm. she is maybe not so strong, he's the strong. You know, I mean, I think they like in Little Women, Lori and Amy, they have a balance that's a healthy balance in a way. When Jonathan has escaped from the castle that Dracula had imprisoned in, and he basically has a breakdown, physical and mental breakdown, and Mina goes to nurse him and help him get better. He's a basket case, and she doesn't change how she feels about him. She is just, you know, strong for him, and I feel like that's a very indicative part of the book for their relationship, where she sees him at his worst. And by worst, I mean not the typical, stereotypical, gender-appropriate, manly man of the mm-hmm. time, right? And yet, that's when they get married. That's when she chooses to take him as her husband, when he is bedridden. They get married at his hospital bed. I mean, I find that to be just fascinating. Mm-hmm. And written by a man, that's an amazing part of this book in terms of gender roles and norms. I feel like that's an important thing.
Right.
Join us next time when we continue discussing gender roles and norms in our four nice selections this year: Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Dracula, and Little Women. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.